Once again, welcome on this call. Thank you so much to all of you for joining. So we will be moving on to our next session, that is Srimad Bhagavatam, which will be given by His Grace Vrindavan Prabhuji. Before moving to the session, I would like to hand over call to Suresh Sharma Prabhuji for giving brief introduction about His Grace Vrindavan Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Suresh Sharma Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Here is a brief introduction about Prabhuji. His Grace Vrindavan Das Prabhuji is a senior disciple of His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj. Prabhuji is a postgraduate of commerce and business management in India, but he gave up his high-paying job to serve humanity. In his youth, he served in RSS and Vishwa Hindu Parishad by opening a school for the blind, an orphanage and hospitals. Vrindavan Das first came in contact with ISKCON in 1974, an understanding that spreading the true message of Bhagavad Gita is the highest welfare activity. He joined as a full-time preacher in 1985. Under the guidance of His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj, he has opened many preaching centers in ISKCON and developed them into successful congregational preaching centers. For over 30 years, he has done many valuable services, including temple president, traveling Sankirtan party leader, head pujari, temple commander, brahmachari training program leader, congregational preaching leader, Padayatra coordinator, spiritual mentor, accountant, etc. Presently, Prabhuji stays with his family in Pune, India. He travels all over India, America, and Europe for preaching the message of Bhagavad Gita. Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. Back to you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Shurusha Shram Prabhuji. Please explain about the business. Sorry, Prabhuji, Shurusha Prabhu. Thanks so much, Prabhuji, for giving the brief introduction about Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Vrindavan Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving us your valuable time and association this morning. We are eagerly waiting to hear from you. So today we will be having the held by His Grace Vrindavan Prabhuji on Canto 6, Chapter 7 and Text 37. Over to you, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Now we will have a little kirtan before Jai Radha Madhav. Is that okay?
Yes, Prabhuji. Sure.
Yeah. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Srivara Dhari, Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Girivara Dhari, Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Rinjana, Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Rinjana, Yamuna Tira Vana Jari, Yamuna Tira Vana Jari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Nitai Gura Haribol, 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 Nitai Gura Haribol, హరినామ సంకీర్తన్ కీ జయ శ్రీ ప్రభుపాద కీ జయ సమవేద కౌమార భక్త వృంద కీ జయ. ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజన శలాఖయ చక్షురుమిళితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురువే నమః. శ్రీ చైతన్య మనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపా కదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం. వందేహం శ్రీ గురో శ్రీయుత పదకమలం శ్రీగురూన్ వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్ర జాతం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనా సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణ పాదాన్ సహగణ లలిత శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితంశ్చ. నమా ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామీ నితి నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాదీ పాశ్చాత్య దేశ తారిణే. జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభో నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసది గౌర్భక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. థ్యాంక్ యూ ఆల్ ఫార్ గివింగ్ మీ దిస్ అపార్చునిటీ టు సర్వ్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ యూ. సో టుడే విల్ బి రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్యాంటో 6 చాప్టర్ 17 టైటిల్ మదర్ పార్వతి కర్సిస్ చిత్రకేతు టెక్స్ట్ నంబర్ 37. ఇతి భగవతో దివ్యా ప్రతిసాప్తం అలతమః ముద్రనాశ జాగ్రే శాపం ఏతావత్ సాధు లక్షణం. వర్డ్ టు వర్డ్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్. ఇతి దస్ భాగవత ద మోస్ట్ ఎగ్జాల్టెడ్ డివోటీ దట్ ఈస్ చిత్రకేతు దేవ్యః of Parvati, Pratishaptam, to make a counter curse. Aladdamaha, able in all respects, Murdhana, with his head, Saha, he, that is Chitraketu, Jagre, accepted, Shapam, curse, Etavat, this much, Sadhu Lakshanam, the symptom of a devotee. Translation. The great devotee Chitraketu was so powerful that he was quite competent to curse Mother Parvati in retaliation, but instead of doing so, he is very humbly accepted the curse and bowed his head before Lord Shiva and his wife. This is very much to be appreciated as the standard behavior of a Vaishnava. The purport by His Divine Grace, S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Upon being informed by Lord Shiva, Mother Parvati could understand that she was wrong in cursing Chitraketu. King Chitraketu was so exalted in his character that in spite of being wrongly cursed by Parvati, he immediately descended from his airplane and bowed his head before the mother, accepting her curse. This has already been explained. Narayana para sarve na kutaschana bibhyati. Chitraketu very sportingly felt that since the mother wanted to curse him, he could accept this curse just to please her. This is called sadhu lakshanam, the characteristic of sadhu or a devotee. As explained by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, trunadapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnuna. A devotee should always be very humble and meek and should offer all respect to others, especially to superiors. Being protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a devotee is always powerful, but a devotee does not wish to show his power unnecessarily. However, when a less intelligent person has some power, He wants to use it for sense gratification. This is not the behavior of a devotee. Is that the end of purport? Yes. So, I'll read the verse once again. Can you put the verse on the screen one more time and translation? Iti bhagato devyaha pati saptam alaltamaha murdhvan sajagrasapam etavat sadhu lakshanam. The great devotee Chitraketu was so powerful that he was quite competent to curse Mother Parvati in retaliation. But instead of doing so, he very humbly accepted the curse and bowed his head before Lord Shiva and his wife. This is very much to be appreciated as a standard behavior of a Vaishnava. So Prabhupada is emphasizing the word here, etavat sadhu lakshanam. Sadhu lakshanam means the characteristics or the behavior of a sadhu, how he accepts the situation which is sent by the Lord as the mercy of the Lord. And therefore we see the Chitraketu, who is just now cursed by Mother Parvati, because Chitraketu, when he was flying in the sky, he saw Shiva, Mother Parvati is sitting on the lap of Shiva. Now, this is not a proper behavior. In front of the assembly, a wife is sitting on the lap of husband. But like Krishna, Shiva is also a different personality. We have to understand Shiva is an expansion of Lord Krishna. And just like Krishna's energy is Lakshmi, Radha or Rukmini, she is always with Krishna. Similarly, Shiva's energy is Parvati, because Shiva is control this material world, and Parvati, in the name of Durga, she is the superintendent of this jail, of this material world. So both of them are together. So Chitraketu didn't offend actually Parvati, but he was amazed to see Parvati sitting on the lap of Lord Shiva, because Shiva is called Adhira. Shiva is not disturbed by his Parvati sitting on his lap while giving Bhagavatam class. But people and like Chitraketu, they were amazed. Because this is not expected from a sadhu behavior, that somebody is sitting on the lap, wife is sitting on the lap of husband, and husband is giving a Bhagavatam class. So that doesn't happen normally. But in this case, Shiva, being a transcendental personality, and he was explaining Bhagavatam to Parvati in a very intimate situation. And therefore, Chitraketu, when he was traveling, he saw that it just externally that Parvati is sitting on the lap of Shiva. And he just, not even sarcastically, just jokingly, feeling amazed, wow, how Shiva is so transcendental that he can be with the material nature, but still he is untouched by the material nature, or untouched by any effects of material nature. That was the power of Lord Shiva. And that was the intention of Lord Chitraketu. So, sometimes without understanding the intention of a person, sometimes we come to conclusion. The person has different intentions and we take it as a different, according to our understanding or according to our response to the person, who has said something or who have done something to us. Sometimes it may be good for us, but we take it that it is a criticism. Sometimes superiors, they give some advice, but we think it's a criticism. But if you are intelligent, if you are humble enough, if you see the intention and the love behind that instruction or the comments behind that instruction is to help us to develop our Krishna consciousness or to develop our detachment from this material world. So nothing happens without the mercy of the Lord. So therefore, the pure devotees like Chitraketu, they are not affected. So when Chitraketu, he just amazingly, as a joke said, wow, how surprising, Parvati is sitting on the lap of Shivji and Shivji is giving Bhagavad discourse. So this was, for Shivji understood that heart of Chitraketu, that he is a Vaishnava, he is not criticizing, he is actually glorifying. But Parvati, she thought that Chitraketu is criticizing Lord Shiva. So see, two people taking one word so differently. Shivaji thinks it's a glorification, but his wife thinks it's a criticism. So immediately Parvati, she curses Chitraketu. And now the whole story goes about the behavior of Chitraketu, how Chitraketu accepted. Now this is called here Sadhu Lakshanam. So that now the Bhagavatam is glorifying Chitraketu here to how, even though he was not wrong, even though he didn't say as a criticism, even though he didn't intend what he was saying, but still he accepted the curse of Parvati as mercy coming from the Lord. So then Parvati was surprised. Now Chitraketu came and he bowed down in front of Parvati and Shiva. And she is thinking, how come, you know, he is so undisturbed. If somebody is cursed, then he will get disturbed, or he will retaliate, or he will take revenge of a person who have cursed. But Chitraketu was very quiet, very humble, very very peaceful. He didn't show any intentions or any signs of any kind of a discomfort on his face or in his behavior. In fact, he came down and he bowed down to Parvati and Shivji. And Parvati is amazed. And then this is the Shivji who is glorifying Chitraketu. And Shivaji is saying that the devotees of Lord, they do not care. Swarga api narakeshu api tulyat darshanam. Because Narayana para sarve yak kutaschana vibhyati. Narayana, those are the devotees, para sarve, those who are completely surrendered to Narayana para sarve, kutaschana vibhyati. For them, it doesn't make any difference. What doesn't make a difference? Swarga api narkeshu, for them the heaven or the hell, api tulyartha darshanan, both are insignificant. They don't care if they go to heaven or even if they go to hell, because they are transcendentally situated. They are neither in hell, they are neither nor in heavenly planets, because they are always with Narayan, they are always with Krishna, they are always in Krishna consciousness. And therefore Chitraketu took that curse of Parvati to be a benediction. And therefore, Chitraketu didn't retaliate, although he had all the power to retaliate. But first he understood it is Shiva and Parvati is his wife. So they are on more superior position. So he took a humble position. And second thing, because he was transcendentally situated, and because he was completely oblivious to the material effects of this material world, and therefore he accepted the curse coming from Parvati as a blessings. Because anything happens in Krishna consciousness, we may not be able to understand right away why these things are happening, but ultimately, they are for the benefit of our spiritual advancement. And if you humbly see and humbly take it, then it is possible to see how all these things happened or arranged by Krishna are meant for our ultimate benefit. Though similar situation we see in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, that King Parikshit, when he went into the forest and he became thirsty, and he came to a hermitage of a sadhu, Shamik Rishi. And Shamik Rishi was sitting in a meditation. And now Parikshit Maharaj is the king of the whole world. And he's alone in the forest except for Shamik Rishi, who is sitting in meditation. And Parikshit, somehow by Krishna's arrangement, he became transcendentally angry or upset that Shamik Rishi didn't recognize his appearance. So just to punish him, not exactly punish, just to show his dissatisfaction, Parikshit wanted to do something. So he saw a dead snake, and he put that dead snake around Shamik Rishi. Now Shamik Rishi, he was transcendentally, he was completely immersed in thoughts of Krishna. So he did not have any effect of the dead snake around his neck. So Parikshit Maharaj, he left it. So if you see the behavior of Parikshit, it is impossible to understand why did he do that. Sometimes devotees act in such a way, that's why it is said in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Janina Bhujiye. It is very difficult to understand the actions of the Vaishnava sometimes, why they do what they do. Sometimes it is very difficult. But anything they do, because they are completely guided by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is meant for their and everyone else's benefit. So unless we come to this conclusion, when we are with Vaishnavas, then we will not be able to understand their compassion and their loving nature. So therefore, Parikshit, nobody would think that he will do this kind of act. That first thing, the devotee never becomes angry. And even if he comes angry, he don't show his anger. And even if he shows his anger, there is a love behind it, or there is some good intention behind it. So none of this was the reason that Parikshit Maharaj put this dead snake around Shamik Rishi. So Shamik Rishi, then he didn't say anything. He was in complete meditation. And then his son Sringi, who is a very immature, very young, he comes and he sees that dead snake put around his father, and just by the appearance of the Sringi, he removes the snake, and at that time he takes the Brahmin thread and puts it around his thumb, which is a sign of anger, and then he throws the water on the floor and he curses whoever have done this act. Because he put a dead snake around my father's neck, he will die by the bite of Takshaka. Takshaka is a very poisonous, deadly snake. He will die in 7 days by this bite of this snake. And he just threw the water. So the Brahmana's curse never go in vain. This is not applicable in Kali Yuga, because Brahmanas are just by the name of Brahmanas. They make curse, but doesn't work. Because previously Brahmanas has such a power because of their purity, of their habits, behavior, character, and also their consciousness. Their curse was so affected that it will 100% work. So this is the first Brahmana, he misused his power, and that is the beginning of degradation of Brahmanas in Kali Yuga. So because when somebody has given power, if it is misused, it is taken away. So people in Kali Yuga, they are not Brahmanas by quality, and they have no understanding or idea of how to use the power of a Brahmanical power. So therefore, this power is no more there in the curse of Brahmana in Kali Yuga. But in previous ages, if any Brahmana says something, that will take, immediately take effect. So this this was the last Brahmana because it is the beginning of Kali Yuga. So this Sringi, the immature child of Shamik Rishi, he said to his father, whoever has done that, I have cursed him. And then Shamik Rishi, he is explaining. He said, Parikshit is not an ordinary person. You know, he came to my hermitage because my hut is thatched hut. It comes in his jurisdiction. So probably he is going around everywhere, and therefore he might have wanted something, and therefore he might have done. We do not know. So we should not curse anybody just because somebody has done something wrong, unless understanding their intentions. So this is very, very important, that behind every word, nowadays only how do you see the words are more seen than the intention behind the word. And unfortunately, this is Kali Yuga. And all the fights starts taking place because people take it, the word, not the intention behind it. So this is exactly happened with Shamik Rishi or even with Parvati. But the Shivaji was mature. And also here, Shamik Rishi was mature to understand the intention behind the actions they did. So Shamik Rishi, he understood Parikshit Maharaj is a pure devotee. Even before his birth, he saw Krishna in the womb of his mother Uttara. And therefore, Parikshit, that means he does everything, he examines. What he examines, it is related to Krishna's service or not. So when he put that dead snake, definitely there was some intention. He might have done it as an act of anger or disrespect, but Parikshit Maharaj is used here as a hands of Krishna or media to do whatever Krishna wants. And therefore, Shamik Rishi was mature enough. So therefore, Shamik Rishi is explaining the qualities of sadhu. Just like this verse is explaining sadhu lakshanam. So this same thing goes with Chitraketu also. With any sadhu, this is the very, very beautiful verse said by Shamik Rishi to tell Sringi, the immature kid of Shamik Rishi, who cursed Parikshit Maharaj. So what is he saying? That, see, these are the qualities of a sadhu. Tiraskrita means he is completely, they are defamed. Tiraskrita. So they are completely defamed or criticized or anything. Or vipralamba, even though they are cheated. Tiraskrita, viptarunda, shapta, even though they are cursed. And hataapi, even though they are disturbed. Nasya, they neglect, even though they are neglected, that is hataapi, hata means killed, even though they are, somebody is killing them, still they are never inclined to avenge themselves. So, see, this is the quality of a Vaishnava, this is the quality of a sadhu. Even if they are defamed, even if they are cursed, even if they are criticized, and even if they are disturbed, and even if they are killed to the extent, just like Prahlad Maharaj. You see how many times Prahlad Maharaj was tried to kill by Hiranyakashipu. He tried to throw them from the cliff. He tried to kill them by keeping him in the company of snakes. He tried to pierce them with the tridents. So many, Prahlad Maharaj, Hiranyakashipu tried to kill, but still Prahlad Maharaj didn't retaliate. Of course, he was just not even 10-year-old, probably 8 or 9-year-old kid. And Hiranyakashipu was the king of the universe. So he was much less powerful, but his power was the mercy of Krishna. Prahlad Maharaj had all the power to punish his father, but he didn't do that. Because he understood this is whatever Hiranyakashipu is doing, even though he is his father, because Prahlad Maharaj is chanting the name of Vishnu or chanting the name of Narayan Krishna, so Hiranyakashipu was very angry and he wanted to kill Prahlad, but still Prahlad accepted. So this is the quality of a sadhu, and therefore even he said, why it is that the next verse is explained that the sage thus regretted the sin committed by his own son. He did not take the insult paid by the king very seriously. So now the son has committed an act of cursing Parikshit Maharaj, but his father regretted that whatever his son did was not proper, and he did not take the insult, and he himself didn't take the insult. See, again, the two personalities taking the same thing. His father didn't take it as an insult, but son took it as an insult. Same action of Prahlad Maharaj putting the same. So this is the thought process is different. The son's thought process is different and father's thought process is different. Son, because he was angry, because he was egoistic, how somebody can do that? And because he could not realize the power of a pure devotee like Parikshit Maharaj. So without thinking anything, he just cursed. But Shamik Rishi, he knew who Parikshit Maharaj was. He knew the power of Parikshit Maharaj. If he wants to retaliate, he would have retaliated. And he would have killed this Sringi, the son of Shamik Rishi. But he didn't do that. He just understood. And immediately from there, he took it. Oh, at least I came to know that I have 7 days to live. And Prabhupada comments there, we don't even know in our life if the only 7 seconds are left, 7 minutes are left, 7 hours are left, or 7 days are left. We don't know. But we can learn from Parikshit Maharaj the urgency of human life. We can learn urgency. When he was cursed, now Parikshit Maharaj, when he came to know that he is cursed, he didn't take it that he had all the power to retaliate. Parikshit Maharaj is the king of the whole world, and he don't need even an army. He would have come and killed Sringi, but he didn't do that. He took it as the mercy. He said, at least I came to know that I have 7 days to die. And he immediately took shelter. You know, it is so beautifully explained in the verse. Atmajaya, how Parikshit Maharaj took this. Atmajaya sutagara pashu dravina bandushu rajyecha avikale nityam viruda mamata juhau. Now how could Parikshit Maharaj do that? How could Parikshit Maharaj took this curse of this Sringi Muni? And because he took it as a chance to remember Krishna and utilize all his 7 days, every second of 7 days. So he didn't even go to home to meet his wife or meet his kids or give instructions to his ministers. He immediately went to the Ganges because he knew there is a saint who is giving Bhagavad there. And this is what he wanted to do. And he asked him, what is the duty of a person who is about to die? What is the duty in general? What is the duty of a person who is about to die? And to answer, the whole Bhagavatam is there. What is the duty of a person who is about to die? So Prabhupada explains, then Parikshit Maharaj, he took it. He didn't take it. He had all the capacity to retaliate or even to take a revenge. But he didn't do it because he thought, this is Krishna's mercy on me. This is the way, if you are completely surrendered to Krishna, or if you are little thoughtful in understanding the material world, or understanding everything, not only our anger, not only our ego, and not only what I think, then what is the thing behind whatever is happening with my life, and how Krishna's hand is there in whatever is happening, then you will see how Krishna is doing everything in your life to bring you close to him. So Parikshit Maharaj, he didn't retaliate. Same like Chitraketu, he didn't retaliate. He took it. He took the curse. So Parikshit Maharaj accepted the curse as it is, and he went to Sukhdeva Goswami. So why he didn't do that? So that's the reason given in the Next sloka by in the case of Parikshit Maharaj, he said, generally the transcendentalist, even though engaged by others in the dualities of the material world, are not disturbed, nor do they take pleasure in worldly things, for they are transcendentally engaged. So this is the reason why sadhu is not disturbed by anything happening around him. In externally, he may react little bit, but his understanding is clear. There is Krishna's hand behind whatever is happening in my life. So like Parikshit Maharaj. So what is that? Because they are not engaged in dualities. They are beyond dualities. And that's what Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita. What is the difference between other philosophy and Bhagavad Gita? That is explained nicely by Krishna to Arjuna. He says, Traigunna Vishayat Vedat Nistraigunno Bhavarjuna Nirdandvo Nitya Satvasto Niryoga Kshem Atvaman. So second line is most important. If you have to become a self-realized, so what are the prerequisites behind? Atmavan, that means you have to realize you are not this body, you are Atma. That means you have to be very remotely see how everything happening with your body. Now, before that, how you have to know? Nirdvandvo. You have to be free from the dualities of this material world. So what are the dualities of this material world? So wherever there is a light, there is a dark. Where is there is the happiness, there is sadness. So similarly, where there is honor, there is an insult. So you take honor very nicely, but when the insult comes, immediately we retaliate. Immediately we become angry. So as a self-realized soul, or those who want to practice Krishna consciousness, or those who want to develop this sadhu quality, which are real qualities, they are qualities of the soul. They have to understand, I accept everything happening with me, good things are happening. I take it as Krishna's mercy. Similarly, bad things happening also, I should take it as Krishna's mercy and find out why this thing happened and why Krishna did this to me, so that I can be better devotee. I can be better Krishna conscious person. So materially it may look something wrong, but spiritually, bad things can also be taken in by devotees in their life as a mercy of Krishna to advance in Krishna consciousness. Just like Parikshit Maharaj is accepting the curse, Chitraketu is accepting the curse. There are so many instances. We'll come to that at the end of our lecture, and we will see. So Nirdvandvo. So we have to be free from dualities of this material world. Nirdvandvo. So if you want to accept an honor, you have to accept an insult also. Nirdvandvo, nitya satvastho. We have to be always situated on the platform of goodness. So if we are not on the platform of goodness, then getting angry is rajasic, and doing everything else is ignorance. So transcendental, or even in the mode of goodness. Goodness means satvat sanjayate. So goodness gives you knowledge. So if you are in the mode of goodness, your behavior, your character, or your habits are in the mode of goodness, then you will be able to see how Krishna's hand is there in everything happening in our life. So therefore, nitya satvastho, we have to try to be in the mode of goodness all the time. Niryoga kshem, completely depending on Krishna in everything. In fact, whether we accept it or not, we are depending on Krishna. The sadhu accepts it, but materialistic people, they want to do something what they want. So therefore, they don't understand how they are depending on Krishna. So, but everybody is depending on Krishna. So difference between sadhu and a non-devotee is, non-devotee don't understand the hands of Krishna in their life, and sadhu sees the hands of Krishna and don't retaliate, and he accepts. And everything given to him to use it in Krishna's service, or it is meant for him to come close to Krishna. So therefore, Nirdvandvo Nitya Satvasto Niryoga Kshem Atmavan. So Atma is completely different from the soul. So Atma is completely different from the body, I'm sorry, material body. Now whatever is happening to us, is happening to the material body, not happening to us, because we have nothing to do with this material body. Material body, just like when I was a kid, my father always used to tell me, if somebody criticizes or if somebody says bad words, I said, don't get angry. You know, is it piercing to your body? Is like a thorns? Or is it like a heat something is feeding? Is it just to your body? It's not for you. You are different. So try to just ignore it, because they may say it and of course they forget, but we keep the anger in our heart. So that is not good. So therefore, see, this is the quality of a sadhu. So he don't immediately get reacted, or he immediately don't retaliate or curse with bad words. So therefore, body, people are seeing the body. People are not seeing the soul. People are seeing the body. And therefore, they are criticizing the body. They are doing anything. Even if he's killed, the body is killed. That's why it is said, hata. Even if somebody is killed, still he do not retaliate. You know, that's a very, very, very high consciousness. We are not on that level. But at least we should try to understand as a tattva, as a philosophy, as an understanding of everything that is happening in our life, how we should accept. So, therefore, Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, Matras Parshastu Kamteya Sitoshna Sukadukkada Agama Payinu Nityatam Titikshasva Bharata. So, matra means matter. Matra sparsha, the matter word in English has come from English Sanskrit word matra, means matter. So whatever we see is matter, that is matra. So matra means prakruti. Matra sparshastu, whenever you touch this prakruti or do anything with this prakruti, you are going to get effect of that prakruti. And what is that? The dualities. Effect of this prakruti is duality. You will never get only sukha. Whatever things gives you pleasure, the same thing will give you misery, but the misery will be more, the sukha will be, the happiness will be less. And you can check with your body. This is the beginning of body. You see, body gives, you know, strength, do whatever you want, probably till the age of 35 or something. But then the declination starts. The same body starts giving problems all the way. So we should use that strength to understand God, to understand our relationship with God, and try to understand how Krishna controls this world and how my life is controlled by Krishna, and how I can give my life to in the service of Krishna, so that I can utilize this human form of life to go back home, back to God. Anyway, this material world is going to act on me. It is acting on me. We see every day it is acting on me. So there is nothing that because this is the body. So body is changing. All the things are happening to body, not to you. You are just an overseer. You are just a seer to see whatever happening to the body. So the devotee, he sees whatever happening to this. But it's a curse is for body, because nobody can curse Atma, because Atma is pure. He is completely related 24 hours, you know, Satchidananda with Krishna. Who can do anything to Atma? Nobody. So anything is happening is happening to the body, and they are not engaged in any bodily consciousness. So Parikshit Maharaj, he took the curse and he went on the bank of Ganga and he started listening to Sukadeva Goswami. What Chitraketu did? Now he took it because it's a body. What happened? He got the body of a demon, Rudrasura. And see, this is the curse of Parvati. But even in Rudrasura body, he was a devotee. He's such a devotee that Indra wanted to fight and he could not kill Rudrasura, and Rudrasura has to just praise Rudrasura, and Rudrasura, you know, he was a devotee even in that body, and he is telling Indra how to kill him. So in this way, Rudrasura, he got the body of a demon. So this is Chitraketu and got a body of a demon, but in that body also, the Atma of Chitraketu was a devotee. So Vritrasura, even though he has a demon body, still he was a devotee. Even Indra could not defeat him. And he, Chitraketu accepted, because anything happening is for our body. So therefore, this third canto, 25th chapter, Kardama Muni, there is a dialogue between Devahuti and Kardama Muni. So Kardama Muni is explaining the characteristics of sadhu. So the first thing is Titikshava, means tolerant. Titikshivaha Karunikaha Surudam Sarvadehinam Ajata Shatrava Shanta Sadhuva Sadhu Bhushana. So the symptom of a sadhu are that he is a tolerant. Titikshavaha, tolerant. That is the most important. Karunikaha. So when you are tolerant, you are automatically compassionate. Karunikaha means he is always merciful. And then Suruda Sarvadehinam, he is friendly to all living entities. He don't see one as an enemy, one as a friend. Just like Krishna, don't see one as an enemy, one as a friend. He sees all living entities equal. Similarly, the devotees of Krishna also see all living entities. They are connected to Krishna. You know, unless they are doing some nonsense against Krishna, then they become retaliate. We will come to that. There are some examples, you know, how devotees retaliated. Just, it's an exception. So it doesn't mean that somebody is doing something to you and you should not retaliate. There are certain circumstances. We'll come to that. So, Suram Sarvadehinam Ajata Shatrava. So why he is like that? Ajata Shatrava. He do not consider anybody as an enemy. Nobody is his enemy. And therefore, Ajata Shatrava. He has no enemy. It's like Yudhishthir is called Ajata Shatrava. Yeah, Yudhishthir has no enemy. Then we think, then who was Duryodhan then? Duryodhan considered Yudhishthir as an enemy. But Yudhishthir never considered Duryodhan as an enemy, or even Shakuni as an enemy, or even Dushyasana and all these Kauravas. He didn't consider them as enemies. Because they considered Yudhishthir Arjuna was as an enemy. So, this is Ajata Shatrava, Shanta. Because there is no fear. Because if you are friendly, if you take it anything coming as Krishna's mercy, there is no fear in your heart. There is no fear in your life because you know anything is happening. Even if somebody is killing, there is no fear because you take it as the mercy of Krishna. Shanta, sadhava, sadhu, bhushana. You say this is sadhu, bhushan. Same word is used here as this word is used in this word, sadhu, bhushana. So this is a sadhu, bhushan. So similarly, Krishna is explaining in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, verse 13. He said, Adveshta Sarabhutana Maitraha Karuna Evacha Nirmamo Nirankaraha Samadukha Sukhaschami. So what is that Adveshta? He is not envious, but kind. Sarabhutana to how? Mitraha. He is a friend of all living entities. Karuna, he has a compassion. Nirmamo, he do not have any proprietorship. He don't think he owns anything because he sees everything as a property of Krishna. Nirmamo, nirahankaraha. Therefore, he is free from false ego. He do not have any false ego. Nirmamo, nirahankara, sama dukha sukha shami. So, he is completely equal to happiness and distress. And therefore, he can see the things happening in his life as properly as the mercy of Krishna. So this is the way you can see how devotees they do not react immediately. So see, we begin from Krishna himself. So Krishna, so Shishupal, he criticized him so much, so many times, but he always forgave him till. He told Shishupal's mother, I will forgive him, you know, because he's going to criticize. But I will forgive his 100 offenses. But the 100, then he will cut his head. So Krishna was forgiving, even though he was criticized by Shishupal in bad words. So see, even the Lord who is telling that be tolerant, himself is showing how to, what's the tolerance is. And he accepts all the criticism, all the negativity by all the people. Even though Gandhari cursed him when Duryodhana, you know, was cheated. So Gandhari cursed him. So Krishna accepted. So therefore, he also don't do that. And when Pandrak, you know, he came in front of Krishna saying that I am real Krishna, you know. So he was kind enough even to that Pandrak till he started showing his, you know, behavior as a Rakshasa, as a demon. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know the famous story of when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sarvam Bhattacharya invited him He had a daughter named Sati, and her husband name was Amogh. And Amogh was very critical to Vaishnavas. So, but he was a son-in-law. So one day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to the house of Sarvam Bhattacharya for prasadam. And there, Sarvam Bhattacharya knew that my son-in-law is very critical to Vaishnavas, and he is not even Vaishnava, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, how did he reacted? So, how he will react? So, he stood with a stick between the door and so that nobody can come. So, and Sarvam Bhattacharya's wife was serving prasadam to Chaitanya. Sarvam Bhattacharya was serving prasadam, and he used to make sure with a stick that Amogh will not come, and he will criticize Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he was doing some, one time it happened, Sarvam Bhattacharya went inside in the kitchen to bring something for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to feed him. So at that time Amogh took a chance, and immediately he came and started criticizing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. See this, he is a Vaishnava, he is a sannyasi, he should not be greedy, but see how much he eats, and he is not a sannyasi. Sannyasis, they are self-controlled. And he starts criticizing. And immediately Sarvam Bhattacharya comes with sticks. And he said, oh my Lord, I wish my daughter become widowed unless before happening all these things, I will accept my daughter as a widow. Then criticizing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by my own son-in-law. So Sarvam Bhattacharya became very angry. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't take anything. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, okay, that's okay. He is right. I am a sannyasi. I should control my tongue. I should control my senses. I should not eat so much. And Sarvam Bhattacharya said, no, this Amogha, he is such a, he is criticizing Vaishnavas, not only Vaishnavas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And immediately, now Amogha, he cursed. But what happened? He went and he got infected with deadly disease, and he was outside the village and he was suffering. And Sarvam Bhattacharya, you know, he didn't do anything. He said he is suffering his own karma. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says no. He see the soul, and therefore he went. And therefore he went and he saw Amogh, who was suffering, and who just said so many bad words, criticized Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't take it to his heart. He is such a compassion. And what he did, he put his hand or feet on his chest, and he said, Brahmana's heart is a compassionate heart, is a heart of a humble Vaishnava. But, you know, this is whatever you did, he immediately touches his feet and holds his feet, Amogh, and begs forgiveness. He said, please forgive me. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, the Brahmana's heart should not be contaminated. And now you have realized, you forgive him. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is God himself, who has forgiven Amogha. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave his mercy, even though he criticized him for his eating. Sarvam Bhattacharya was very angry. He got so angry that he thought that my son-in-law, let him die, and my daughter, she become widow. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is a God. He didn't accept that as a curse, as a criticism. But in fact, he went to him, and with compassion, he gave him mercy, and he gave him the whole his mercy and compassion, and Amogh was cured. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You see, Haridas Thakur, because he was born in Muslim family, and he was chanting Hare Krishna. So Muslims rejected him because he chanting the name of Hindus. And Hindu Brahmanas, they didn't accept him because he was born in Muslim family. So therefore, both this community, they kicked him away. So he was on the road. So he was happy, you know, this is Krishna's arrangement for me. Now I have nothing to do. So I just chant Hare Krishna. So he will chant 3 lakhs or 300,000 Hare Krishna mantras in a day. Practically 20 hours you are just chanting. So he took it, you know, it's good for me that all village have completely kicked me out. So he used to sit under a tree or in a cave and he will just chant Hare Krishna. And he was so immersed in Krishna's, remembering Krishna. So in this way, this Haridas Thakur, then so many people complained against him and they wanted to punish him. So Haridas Thakur, he said, Nawab Hussain Shah, he called him and he said, there are so many complaints against you. That because you are chanting and all these Hindus are telling that you are degrading their Hindu dharma and you are Muslim and you are not allowed to chant, you are not qualified to chant this, and Muslims are complaints against you because you have taken up to some different method than your scripture mentioned. And Haridas Thakur started explaining. He said, chanting Hare Krishna is not at all sectarian. Krishna is God who is called as Allah. And whether you call him Allah, whether you call him Krishna, he is the same person. And I am chanting his name. And even if you cut my body into 1,000 pieces, I am not going to stop. Even if you cut my tongue into hundreds of pieces, it is my nature. I cannot stop chanting. So just see how our chanting should be. Our chanting should not be a bond or a kind of a burden to us. We should understand chanting is my life. Like Haridas Thakur thought, chanting is my life. I cannot stop it. So that's how we should be chanting. So that's how Haridas Thakur was chanting. And that's how confidently he told that even if you cut my body into 1,000 pieces, each piece will chant Hare Krishna. Even if you cut my tongue into 1,000 pieces, each piece of my tongue will chant Hare Krishna. So that was a conviction of Haridas Thakur. So he didn't care for what is happening with his body. So they took him to 22 different market squares, market places, and he was beaten. The people who were beating him, they were changing because they were using all their strength to whip Haridas Thakur on his back. But Haridas Thakur was just simply folding the hand, sometimes raising the hand, or he just chant Hare Krishna. He was so immersed in chanting Hare Krishna that whatever happening to his body, it didn't affect him at all. He just ignored, he just tolerated, and he didn't care at all anything happening to his body. Because he took it, this is happening to my body, this is not happening to me. So this is not an easy realization, but we can understand, we can apply it. At least whatever comes in our life, we should take it as Krishna's mercy and try to understand. And don't get agitated or angry or completely, depressed or distressed. Try to understand how we can come closer to Krishna, like Haridas Thakur. So Haridas Thakur is a pure devotee. We cannot imitate. But he was beaten in 22 places, but he didn't die because he was protected by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it became evening. So Haridas Thakur, he felt compassion for these people, those who are beating him, and he's not dying. He felt compassion. He said, you have many people, groups changed. This is, you beat me 22 marketplaces with a hunter, with a complete might and complete force. Still he didn't die. And those people started begging Haridas. He said, Haridas, unless you die, we cannot go back to the king. He will kill us. So better die for us. So Haridas Thakur said, okay. He was so compassionate. All these people were beating him. He felt bad for him. He took it because they were the representative of king. And he took it as Krishna's mercy. And he said, because you are, I don't want you to die because of me, I will die. So he died. He just fell down on the ground. And his body was completely like a dead person. Then what they did? They threw him away in the river. And he went down to the, bottom of the river. And these people, those who were beating him, they went to the king and he said, we killed Haridas Thakur. And also because you cannot burn him because he is not a Muslim, he is not a Hindu. And you cannot bury him because he is not a Muslim, because he is neither Hindu nor Muslim. We threw him in the water of the river and he's gone, he's finished. Now the king is happy. All these people are happy. Now Haridas Thakur, he just with his mystical power, you know, he's just holding his breath, and he thought he died, and he threw him in the river. He went to the bottom, and when the night came, he came out, and next day he was roaming in the city again. All these people were surprised. What happened, Haridas? We threw him outside. Then everybody realized then Haridas Thakur became very famous. So this is what happens. Haridas Thakur didn't retaliate. He had all the power. He's a pure devotee. But he saw it's Krishna's hand in it. And therefore, he is known as Namacharya Haridas Thakur, who is the embodiment of chanting the holy name. So to show his determination in chanting, to show his conviction in chanting, and show how important is chanting Hare Krishna mantra. So Krishna revealed it through Haridas Thakur in this situation. So Haridas Thakur, even though he was beaten, he was threatened to kill, he was practically killed and thrown in the river, he didn't retaliate. Because he took it as Krishna's mercy. Krishna wants to show something through me. So he became famous as Namacharya Haridas Thakur. Take the example of Jesus Christ. His own people, you know, because he was preaching the pure message of love of God, you know, chant thy name with all thy heart. That is the only message Jesus spread, chant the holy name, you know, chant the holy name, and your place is not this one. You have to go to the kingdom of God. Very simple, same message of Bhagavad Gita. We are not from in this world. We have come into this world to purify ourselves, purify our consciousness and go back. But the people, those who hated him, they bound him on the cross and nailed him, his hands and legs, and, you know, they nailed, and he's bleeding from everywhere. He's in pain. Just imagine, even if you get touched with little pin or a little knife, just imagine how much it pains. Now his both hands are nailed, his two legs are nailed, and he is hanging there. You know, he's bleeding. He has a crown of barbed wire on his head, which is pressed into his head. He's bleeding in his head, and he's on the cross, and he can neither die and nor live. So much pain. If somebody kills you, at least you are gone. But he is so much in pain. But see his heart. What is he saying? Oh God, please forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. That is the compassion of a Vaishnava. That is a sadhu. Even though they try to kill him, they try to give so much of a pain to his body, but he's still praying for the compassion, for the betterment of the people who have done these things for him. So that's a sadhu. That is a sadhu. So that's why Prabhupada said we accept Jesus as our guru. Because who shows that, just like Prahlad Maharaj, who shows that any difficulties devotee or sadhu is ready to endure to show their love for God, especially in Kali Yuga, chanting the holy name. So this is the example of Jesus Christ. So therefore, this is Haridas Thakur, Jesus Christ. Similarly, there is a very nice story happened in the life of Saint Tukaram. When Tukaram was preaching, at that time, because he was preaching the same principle, pure devotees, they do not teach anything else rather than pure love for Krishna, pure love of Godhead. And especially that love for God can be developed only by chanting Hare Krishna. So he was preaching the glories of holy name. And he was telling, you don't need to do any other religious rituals. Just chant the name of Krishna and you will go back home, back to Godhead. But so-called Karmakandi, so-called Brahmanas, who are more interested in rituals than the purpose of the ritual to please Krishna. So they became very envious. And what they could do, the local Brahmanas, they could not do anything. So they invited a Brahmana, Mambaji Swami, from a nearby place. And they told him that this Tukaram is completely spoiling our Dharma. And he goes and tells everybody the purpose of all the Vedas, Gita, Bhagavat and all the Puranas is to bring us to the conclusion of chanting Hare Krishna. And that is the purpose of life. And he goes and tells everybody there is no need to do anything. and just chant Hare Krishna and your life is the purpose is fulfilled, and you don't have to do anything in this material world, because the whole life is to become close to Krishna, and by chanting Hare Krishna you come close to Krishna. So he was preaching very simple message, but all the Brahmanas, they become angry, and therefore they went and complained to the authority of Mambaji Goswami. So Mambaji came to see Tukaram. Now they gave him a place just right next to the temple in Dehu. There is a Vitthal Rukmini temple. The ashram was very close to him, very next to it. So Mambaji, he used to attend Tukaram's pravachans in the evening. So he attended Tukaram's pravachan, and he was so much learned in the scriptures that he used to convince people that how in their life they should start chanting Hare Krishna. So everybody will chant Hare Krishna. So this Mambaji, the Brahmana who came to punish Tukaram, he could not find anything in his philosophy, because his philosophy was perfect. The conclusion of all the scriptures is to chant Hare Krishna. So he will tell them, he'll convince them. But Mambaji, he didn't find anything in it wrong in philosophy, because he will quote everything from Puranas and Vedas and Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, how we are all servants of Krishna and our duty is to serve him, and service begins when chanting, and all everything follows after chanting. So Mambaji couldn't find any mistakes. So now his anger started becoming growing, because he didn't find mistakes. And he wanted to punish him. So if you don't find any mistakes, then he started saying, is there any fault in Tukaram's behavior? So he kept watch on Tukaram 24 hours. You know, whenever he will see if Tukaram is doing anything wrong. But Tukaram was so humble, he thought he's the servant of everybody. Even though if he sees donkey, he will go and feed the donkey. He will give the water to the donkey. What to speak of every other creature, cows, bulls, human beings, the sadhus, the brahmanas and vaishnavas. He will serve, no consideration in serving. He was so humble, always chanting the name of Krishna, and he always considered as a servant of all living entities, not only human beings, not only brahmanas, all living. He didn't consider any caste, religion or body, what kind of body they have. He will go and water the plants. He will go and serve the pigs and donkeys and dogs and cows. So he will go and serve and see that everybody is properly taken care on the behalf of Krishna. So he didn't find anything in his behavior. He was so humble. And then he started sadhu's only jewel or sadhu's only real ornament is character. You know, sadhus don't consider gold as a ornament, or any jewel as a ornament, or any kind of a garland of a jewel or diamond. That's not an ornament. Money is not an ornament. For a sadhu, character is his ornament. So therefore, Mambaji, he started seeing anything wrong in character. He was watching in eye, you know. So in the night he will put oil in his eyes so that he don't sleep, and he will see what Tukaram does in the night. Because you know, sometimes sadhus in Kali Yuga, they are like sadhus in the daytime, and the night time they do all nonsense. So he was thinking, you know, daytime is be good, probably he does some nonsense when everybody is sleeping, and I'll keep an eye. So Mambaji could not find anything. The whole night Tukaram, after everybody is gone, he will stay in the Vitthal Rukmini temple and all night he will chant. He didn't find any mistakes. Now this anger was growing and growing, and he became so angry, he don't know how to punish Tukaram. Now Tukaram, every day morning, even before everybody starts coming to the temple, he will clean the whole area around the temple to make sure no pebbles or any stone will touch the feet of Vaishnavas who are walking around the temple doing parakrama. So he will clean with his own hand, with the broom. He will clean the whole temple surroundings, even before Brahma Murta, before 4 o'clock, even though it little light is there. So he will clean everything. so that people coming to the temple for Mangalarti around, because everybody used to walk bare feet around the temple, so they will not get any pierced by these thorns or any pebbles or any small stones or gravel. So he will clean everything. He'll make it clean so much. So Mambaji was saying this from his ashram. So one day, what happened? Tukaram's broom accidentally touched the fence of Mambaji. Now, previously in the olden days, I have seen with my eyes. So they used to build a fence of long thorns, bushes. So it's called Karvandi or I don't know the English names for that. But these long thorns, they are like long nails. They are so strong. I remember when I used to go to forest for, you know, just with my friends, I used to get those. They go deep in your feet, like about 1.5 inches. Very painful. So these thorns are so thick and so sharp that even if a bull or even if a buffalo comes, his skin will get, torn. That the thorns are so very sharp and very thick, like a nail. So they will put a fence. They will put a bamboo line, and they will align this fence with all these sticks of all these thorn bushes. And that is the fence. So when Tukaram was cleaning, accidentally his broom touched this fence and fence fell down. Now all that anger, this is what happens. Anger gets accumulated. He didn't find anything in philosophy, anger grew. He didn't find anything in his behavior, anger grew more. He didn't find anything in his character, anger grew more. So just imagine how much anger, and this is not at all a fault. He just accidentally touched the fence, which can immediately put up again in 2 minutes. It's not a big thing. Is not at all a big thing, but that anger is there, that previous all these things. This is why we should not keep anger about a person. Immediately we should forgive. We should not keep that anger in our heart as a sadhu. So he kept that anger and he just came. He took it an opportunity. He took the stick with all those thorns and he started beating Tukaram. Now he took one stick, just imagine with the about 1.5-2 inch like a nail like sharp thorns, and he started beating Tukaram. Tukaram's body started bleeding from his head to his toe. He beat with one, he beat with two, all the sticks started breaking. But Tukaram didn't retaliate. He didn't say anything. He just stood there chanting the name of Krishna. He didn't say anything, even though there was nothing wrong in his part. There was nothing wrong he did. It's just an accident which can be fixed in just 2 minutes. You just pick up the fence and it is goes back again and just tie it with some rope, which will not fall again. But Tukaram didn't even argue with him. Tukaram didn't try to explain to him anything. Because he was not ready, he just became angry, started cursing, he became very angry. When you're angry, your mind is not in your hand, you start using bad words. So it doesn't remain in your head, then you have a justification like that. So he does that and he goes and starts beating. So one stick broke, the two ticks, three, four, five, about a dozen sticks, they broke on Tukaram's body, and Tukaram's body is clean, completely bleeding. And still, he didn't say anything. And he was praying. He was just praying to the Lord. He was just praying to the Lord. And but Mambaji, he got tired. And his hands start hurting. And therefore, he gave up because he could not pick up the stick and beat Tukaram. And Tukaram is not showing any retaliation. He's not showing any anger. And meanwhile, all the people around, they are looking at all these things happening early in the morning. People have started coming to the temple and they saw Tukaram. Nobody knew, people like to see the fun. They don't want to do anything. They didn't go and stop Mambaji because they know that he is gangry. So they didn't stop him. They're all looking at what is happening. But Tukaram is not seeing anything. He's just chanting the name of Krishna, Vitthala, Panduranga. So he just immersed in remembering Krishna, and he just tolerating. It is not that it is not painful, but the, you know, we, by this internal power of the holy name, devotee get a strength to tolerate the things, at least to some extent, may not be complete extent to the death or deadly disease, you know. So, but some, you know, the more you advance, more you learn that how we need to tolerate the pains of this body. Because each thing is preparing you because we are all getting painful bodies in the, when you get old and diseased and about to die. So that pain is the severe. So if you don't tolerate this small pain, then how you are going to accept the pain, which is a fact, nobody can avoid this old age, disease and death. So that's what Krishna gives you, makes you strong internally by chanting the holy name and serving and purifying you and giving you the understanding philosophically how we should deal with this body. So we should deal with this body, minimum necessities for the body, and then accept whatever it comes. So Tukaram was like that. He didn't say anything. Now, Mambaji, he did all this and he beat him with a stick and about a dozen, and whole body from his head to toe is bleeding. Now, Mambaji, he becomes tired and exhausted, and his hand cannot even move now. He cannot even lift a stick, and then he just curses him and he goes home. Now Tukaram, he just goes to the temple, and he reveals his heart to Panduranga. He is Krishna. The temple is still there in Dehu. So he goes to Vitthala, who is Krishna, and he starts praying. These Abhangas are in Marathi, but in my English book, they are translated in English. So it's an English class. So I would like to read the English translation of Marathi Abhanga. And what is saying, will not leave, will not leave, will not leave your lotus feet. You know, na sodi, na sodi, na sodi charana sarvata. That means, I will not leave your lotus feet. Krishna, I will not leave your lotus feet. So how? Be it intolerable or life threatening. Anything happening in my life is intolerable. Even I have to tolerate anything, but still, I will not leave your feet. I will not remember, I'd stop thinking about you. Or even if it is life-threatening, still I will not forget you. Will not leave your lotus feet. Will not fear the wagon's wielder weapon. Even if somebody is cutting me, but still I will not fear. Cut me into 100 pieces. Still, let him beat. This is the same mood of Haridas Thakur. Let my body is cut into 100 pieces. I will still not give up the chanting of the holy name. Because who is chanting? Body is not chanting. Soul is chanting. That is the conviction of a devotee. And that's the experience you get. The body is not chanting. Body is just a yantra. But sound is not coming from body. Sound is the atma. Atma is chanting. Because it is meant for the purification of atma, purification of soul. You know, it's common. Eye is not seeing. Atma is seeing through the eyes. The ears are not listening. Atma is listening to the ears. The nose is not breathing. The breathing is for the body, to keep the body and soul together. The nose is a medium. Similarly, tongue is just a medium. So similarly, the atma is chanting, not this body. That is the conviction. Therefore, he said, you cut my body, still I'll be chanting. So Tukar declares, I have already fixed my determination at your lotus feet. Said Tukaram, he says that I have fixed my mind at your lotus feet. Let anything happen to this body. So he goes and thanks Krishna. So if this is your desire, I accept it. So the next Abhanga is more important. He said, good, good, Vithoba, good. He said three times, Barve kele, Barve kele, Barve kele, Vithoba. Barve means good. You did good. Three times saying, you did good to me, good to me. Seeing my forgiving nature. You see, this is most important. Sadhu is forgiving. Said, seeing my forgiving nature, O Lord, you had me beaten with a thorny stick. So see, seeing my humble nature, seeing my forgiving nature. So he saw that Tukaram Maharaj is so kshamasil, or he's so forgiving, and he's so compassionate. What did he do? You made me beat with a stick. I accept it. And for all social norms, he had disgraced. So the Mambaji, with all social norms, he has disgraced me, disrespected me, beaten me. But I still accept it. I said, then despite this, O Lord, you didn't let me become angry. See how humble he is. Normally, if I tolerate something, I will be proud that I didn't become angry. Still, the I will come. But Tukaram Maharaj is praying, you didn't let me become angry. So this is Vaishnava. He is not ready to take even credit that I became humble, I tolerated. No. Who gave the strength? That's the realization. Krishna has given the strength to tolerate the situation. So he is thanking Krishna for giving him the strength. He don't even want to take the credit that he tolerated the things. He said, good, O Lord, you have saved me from anger. So he didn't become angry and he said, you saved me from anger. So in this way, Tukaram is praying in front of Vitthala. And he didn't get angry, he didn't retaliate, and he is thanking Krishna for that. And that's the humility, accepting everything as Krishna's mercy. So even the bad things happening in life. So that is how it is happening, and try to find out. So that is what happened with Tukaram. And then Tukaram went to the temple, and as he was praying, all his wounds started healing, and he became completely all right. So again in the evening, Tukaram came for Kirtan. And now, Mambaji, where he used to sit, because he was a respected Brahmana, Tukaram gave him a place to sit in a temple, particular place. So, Mambaji was not there. And he said, see, the person who have beaten him in the morning to the point of death, you know, bleeding. Now, compassion is so much of Tukaram, so much humility. He sees that Mambaji is not there. So immediately he called one of his devotee and he says, go and see why Mambaji hasn't come. No, he should be here. Why he didn't come? So much concerned because he didn't come for his kirtan. And he was not attending kirtan with good intention. He was attending kirtan to find faults in his kirtan, you know. Sometimes people sit in the lecture and after the lecture they tell you, oh, you said this sentence like this. This is not like this. Instead of this, you said like this. They are not interested in lecture. They are not interested in the message. They are interested in the language. So therefore, Mambaji was sitting in the lecture just to find faults in his lecture. He was not sitting there with good intention. So this is what happening with Mambaji. So Tukaram, he said, why Mambaji is not there, you know? So then he went and then he saw he was rolling on the ground. His body was hot with fever and his disciples were trying to chill him down with wet cloths on his body. But he was flipping on the ground like a chicken, you know, dying chicken. He was flipping on the ground and this boy, who you sent, he goes and he sees that he's saying, he becomes happy. This is because you treated Tukaram in the morning the way. That's why Krishna is punishing you. He thought, if I tell this to Tukaram, he'll be happy too. So he came to Tukaram and he said, he is properly punished by Krishna for whatever he did in the morning to you. I said, what happened? He said, he's flipping on the ground like a chicken about to die with a fever and his whole body is in pain and he cannot sleep, he cannot stand, he's so much in pain. Tukaram felt bad for him. Immediately, Tukaram went to him and he said, see, this is how, even though it is not his mistake, but still, he went to him. He said, Mambaji, it is my mistake that my mistake and my broom touched and so all these things happened. So he started massaging him, you know, And then he became cool and Mambaji became sober. See, this is Tukaram and that is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. Now, this is the mood of a Vaishnava. Said, Trunadapi Sunichena, Taroriva Sahishtuna, Amanina Manadina, Kirtaniya Sadahari. So Kirtaniya Sadahari for chanting, these are the four prerequisites. What Trunadapi? We should be humble than the blade of grass. Then tolerant as trees. So many people throw so many stones and they cut it, but tree never retaliates. Tolerant than a tree. Amanina. So we should respect a person who insults you. That's very, very difficult. You can be tolerant. You can be, you know, anything coming, but to respect a person who is insulting you, that is very difficult. And that's what Tukaram shows in his life. He respected a person who has beaten him, and that is Amanina Manadena. So that is the quality of a sadhu, which is explained in this verse. Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. In that mood only we can chant the name of Krishna. So this was Tukaram. So he was completely, see, this is the glory of Tukaram. This is the glory of sadhu. So this is what we can see, many, many, many examples of the scriptures. So I would like to conclude in just giving. Now Arjuna wanted to be a sadhu and forgive everything that what Duryodhana did. But Krishna made him fight. So sometimes devotees, they retaliate, not because they are insulted, because to protect the dharma or to protect the Krishna consciousness. Or if somebody is criticizing Krishna, just like Hanuman, he came as a messenger of Ram in front of Ravana, and he gave the message, and Ravana insulted him. So he didn't care. You are a monkey. He didn't care. But when he started talking about Ram, and because he stole the wife of Ram, Sita, and kept in his kingdom, although he could not even touch her, so then Hanuman became angry. So these are the examples. They became retaliated, but not because they were insulted, but because the Lord was insulted, because the Lord was criticized. So the devotees, they become angry if the Lord is criticized. They retaliate if there is a protection of dharma, for the protection of dharma, like Arjuna. So these are some of the examples are also there. That time they don't tolerate. But personally, as an individual, we should try to develop this quality, because this is the quality of a sadhu. Because in one of the lectures, His Holiness Radhanath Swami said, if you want to become humble, you have to learn to be humiliated. Without humiliation, there is no humility. So many things will happen in our life that will help us to humiliate or make us humble. So we should accept, unless, you know, so many people talk so many ill things about you, so many people talk without understanding what's your mood and what's your thinking about others, they get angry. But, you know, we should learn to tolerate as much as possible, you know. But sometimes it is necessary to protect the dharma, to teach. Like Prabhupada used to get angry, but immediately he will be so kind and So anger of a sadhu, how do we know? If the anger is accompanied by envy, that is anger. If the anger is accompanied by compassion, that is not an anger. That is a compassion. That anger is a compassion. So effect is more important. If the anger has, envy, developing envy, just like Mambaji, he's angry, anger was increasing and the envy is also increasing, So that anger, that the envy increases. So that anger is not good. The envy is not good. So sadhu, it is said that sadhu cha raag and paanya cha daag, they said it in Marathi. So the anger of a sadhu is like a water drop. Pure water drop on a cloth. It just evaporates. And his compassion, immediately he feels bad that he gets angry. He don't want to get angry, but he feels bad. That's the quality of a sadhu. You may get it just to teach something to the subordinates or to dependents or those who are learning, or like a disciple or a son or anybody who is trying to counsel. So there is a love behind that anger. There is no envy. There is a love. So we should try to understand the intention. So these are some of the examples. So this is the behavior of sadhu and Chitraketu. Therefore, that the verse Prabhupada is using, and he is using the same verse, Trunadapi Sunichena, how the sadhus are tolerant and they are humble. So these things are a quality of a sadhu. So we discussed these are the quality of a sadhu. So I'd like to stop here. Thank you. I don't know how long I speak. Then I have a next lecture in about 15 minutes probably. So I have some time if you have any questions. So thank you very much for giving this opportunity. So now I will stop here. If you have any questions, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. That was really a very wonderful class, in depth. It was very understandable. So, no words actually for the class which you had just took. So, you gave so many examples about Sant Tukaram. I have never heard in detail in any other lectures. This was really very helpful. And you just made the comparison with Parikshit Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, Haridas Thakur, and finally with Sant Tukaram. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
And also Jesus Christ.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, yeah. So it was actually a nectar flowing so long. I didn't realize how the time has gone. So thank you so much for such a very wonderful class. So I think Jyoti Mataji is having some question. Can go ahead, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Dhanvat Pranam, Mataji. Hare Krishna, Dhanvat Pranam, Prabhuji. Thank you for your nectarian class. Very wonderful teachings. And thank you for teaching us about great saints. Prabhuji, my question is, when we are dealing with Vaishnavas, when we are very new, we hear about Vaishnavas and we are very... at that time we collect only knowledge how to behave and how our attitude should be, because we want to be very respectful, we want to have that bond, a strong bond with devotees to get our bhakti purified, or we want to advance. But as the dealing starts, then there is a need of a constant understanding, and that is not happening. Say if the dealing is happening and one Vaishnava is constantly making an opinion which is not true, and not even trying to identify or find out what the other Vaishnava is the same, is the opinion that he is constantly, or she is constantly forming, is correct or not. So in that case, we should go ahead and, you know, argue and give the facts that what they are making the opinion is wrong, or we should keep quiet and let the time come and they will realize. So how our dealing should be, because it will affect our day in, day out, and the offensive thing will come in our mind later on, because it is day by day it is depositing. So could you please share on this, Prabhuji? Hare Krishna.
Your statement is general, so my answer will be also general. Okay, so if somebody has some opinion, if you know the person who has the same opinion, who has that opinion for him or for you, then you can go to him and humbly try to explain him, Prabhuji, this is not the thing actually, this is the thing. Because sometimes what happens, in Kali Yuga, there are two things you have to understand. Kali Yuga is very dangerous in sense, there are two things happening. Kali Yuga means lack of communication, and Kavinuga means lack of understanding. Probably what he is telling, I am not understanding, or probably what I am doing, he or she is not understanding. And it is not properly communicated if what is the missing point. So we should try to understand why somebody is saying whatever they are saying, and try to communicate properly. Because what happens is somebody says something, and after 10 people, it comes to us in something wrong, a different way. You know, so we take it, the person who told us as a fact, and the fact is something different, the source is completely different. Now we start to criticizing, even understanding why he said that and what he said that. So if something comes, you go to directly talk to him if he, you know, he's approachable, or if he's senior to you, go through some person and he says, Prabhuji, this is what I heard people are talking about me, and this is not the situation, this is the real situation, please try to understand. You can explain, you can try to approach him properly. And if something is, you know, if he is doing, if that is right in a situation to improve your Krishna consciousness, then take it. Don't take it as a criticism. Take it as he is helping you to go close to Krishna. Okay? Hare Krishna.
Ha, Prabhuji. So, if we are approaching, then we are not submissive and we are not tolerant and we are defensive and we are insecure. So, this is how I am hearing. So, that approachable thing is not that practically working in.
Then just give it up and just give it and just let Krishna reveal it to him and you chant Hare Krishna. Don't worry about if, you know, so many people are defamed necessarily in this world. But, you know, you take it as a, you know, mercy of Krishna and just don't worry about somebody's criticizing. You be fixed in your sadhana, fixed in your character. And make sure what these people are telling are not, it is not the truth. You try to explain to your close people, you know, and if that works, because in Marathi there is saying, if the sky is torn, you know, it's like the clothes are torn, how many patches you are going to put? So you cannot go and close the mouths of thousands of people, those who are talking ill against you. But see, you have to please Lord who is in your heart. He knows everything. Lord in the heart knows everything. So be honest to yourself. And if you are honest to yourself, you are truthful to yourself, and then Krishna will protect you. Even the, what is this defame? That's what it is there, right? Tulya ninda stutir maunam. That is what Krishna says. You know, you accept glorification, then you accept the ninda also. So that's the duality of this world. You know, so if you try to explain, if nobody's trying to understand you, go to Krishna and explain to him in your heart, go to in front of Prabhupada and talk to him. So this is what is Prabhupada. So let you reveal them or just face it. And as long as it doesn't become physical, you know, then you have to protect yourself. But just, it's just a word or somebody talking bad words. I will not worry about it because everyone has their own opinion about everything. So I am worried about how I am going to become humble in my devotional service. And if somebody just word or some misunderstandings are there, you try to explain, it doesn't work. Just depend on Krishna, like Haridas Thakur and like Tukaram. They had no fault, but still they accepted as a fault. Like Jesus Christ, what was his fault? But still he accepted the miseries. So at least Prahlad Maharaj, you know, they Prahlad Maharaj didn't tell, he didn't go and tell, you know. So some things are there, you can explain, some things are there, you can just tolerate. So if you have any particular place, then you can, about for a particular person, then you have to talk particularly to your senior devotee who you are taking guidance from. Okay. So I'll take some other questions now. Yes.
Thank you.